Good morning. Please be seated. So if you're visiting Holy Cross today or you're new to Holy Cross, welcome. Even if you're a regular at Holy Cross, I may not look familiar to you because I normally hang out at the 8:15 service. So my name is Wade Hinkle, and I'm giving the sermon today. So I do have two serious topics to speak on, but I doubt any church in Washington is hearing a sermon this Sunday without a shout-out to the Capitals. So here's my shout-out to the Capitals. God saves us all, but nobody else saves any more than Brendan Holtby. 92%. So when lay people volunteer to preach, what tends to happen is the clergy give them all the really difficult passages to preach on. You'll see lay people are going to preach on Trinity Sunday. Whenever Revelations is read, lay people are going to preach. And very often you'll hear a lay person preach about Mark chapter 3. And it's an often misunderstood passage, and it actually helps when you think about the part that we read to also remember what's been going on earlier in Mark also. So I'm not going to go over the whole text with you, but I want to talk about two ideas. So the first idea, when you or I begin to do what God has called us to do, people are going to be confused, even your loved ones. And the second idea is that one of the most radical things that God calls us to do is to forgive one another. And so when you start to do that, to forgive somebody else, brace yourself, even your family's going to be confused. And so those are the two things I want to talk about this morning. So as we're reading in Mark, actually a little bit before the part that we're reading today, Jesus has begun his ministry. He's been healing paralytics, he's been healing lepers, he's been healing people on the Sabbath, he's been eating with tax collectors. And his family has been getting some serious blowback. Right? We read, when his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, he's gone out of his mind. So, and that can tend to happen when you start to behave in a different way than people are used to. And so here's just my personal story about how that happened to me, how I freaked out somebody who used to think they knew me pretty well when I started to talk about how God guides me today. So a few months ago, the mother of my high school girlfriend died. My high school romance wasn't casual. I actually thought I was going to get married to this woman. But we went to different colleges, drifted apart, and so that never happened. I was, however, very good friends with her family way back when. We lost touch over the years. So the idea is that my ex-girlfriend's family knew a very different Wade, one who was an avowed atheist, someone who thought religion was evil. So I spent most of my time during the funeral reception explaining to people how I am now, how I regained my faith, how I joined Holy Cross, how I found Mary, how I graduated from education for ministry, and how much I love teaching it now. And my ex-girlfriend and her family looked at me, and they said, "What happened to you? You're not the person we knew." And that, I suggest, is exactly what's happening to Jesus in Mark chapter 3. It'll help to remember again what's happened to Jesus right before the part that we're reading. He's begun to perform miracles so that those who witness him can believe in him. And this really threatens the Jewish temple leaders, and they begin to try to discredit the miracles and so to discredit Jesus. They go so far as to suggest that the miracles are not being performed by God, but by Satan. And so what we're reading today picks up there. Jesus has probably returned to his home in Capernaum. That's actually where scholars think that home was now. So his family has moved from Nazareth. And so his hometown neighbors know that Jesus has begun his ministry and his preaching. And they're upset, right? So is his family. I mean, this is trouble this town doesn't need. They want him to be quiet, to stop upsetting people. In fact, there's even a mob that's formed outside the house while he's trying to eat. And the religious authorities and the political authorities are really stirred up. So in today's reading, Jesus recognizes explicitly the tension between how he's calling us to act and our human nature. We read, if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. So I'm pretty sure that one important point of today's reading is the idea that I started with, and it's a big one. Following God is going to change how we behave. And when that happens, when it does change how you behave, be prepared for people who've known you for a long time to say to you, what happened to you? Think about the times where God guided you to do something that surprised all the people that know you well. Maybe you bought some items at the store because you know that we need them for the outreach basket. Maybe you were inspired to pray for somebody who then got well. Maybe today you stopped and spoke with the homeless person in the parking lot and gave him one of the comfort packets that we have here at Holy Cross. Here's the point. Did you tell anyone that you did these things? And if you did you get a strange look? Because in contemporary society, believing in God is spooky. Which brings us back to Mark chapter 3 and what it talks about at the end, something that we all have a hard time dealing with today, and that is forgiveness. And here's the connecting idea, because one of the hardest things to understand about Christians is the commandment to forgive those who trespass against us, in the beautiful words of the Lord's Prayer that you'll recite in just a minute. But as Mark 3 says, forgiveness is such a radical idea, then when we practice it, it's going to seem strange to other people. And Jesus is explaining to us why forgiveness is profoundly important. He assures us in Mark 3 that we will be forgiven everything, except if we cannot believe in the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus is talking about in this reading. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. So if the last few weeks haven't convinced you that forgiveness is an important thing for Christians, nothing will. Let's take stock pretty quickly, shall we? A television star made a racist slur. Another television star used an unprintable insult to refer to another woman. Now, I condemn both of these statements. Both were awful. They were really, really bad. But you know what? Both of the people who made these statements have apologized and they have asked for forgiveness. What would it take for us, the woke people of Christ, to forgive them and to say that we forgive them? If we said to others that we have forgiven them, would we get the same skeptical look that Jesus was getting from his neighbors? Would we get the same urgent questions from our family who think their car is about to be trashed? But if we can't do the right thing, if we can't forgive those who trespass against us, aren't we ourselves then rejecting the Holy Spirit? And isn't that what Jesus is saying is really the only unforgivable sin? So I'll leave you today with two thoughts. The first is, once you begin to act as Christ intends, get ready for some strange reactions. And the second is, why not make it a point this week to really surprise somebody by practicing radical forgiveness? Amen.